and you may be seated. And family, let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you've made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. We pray right now, Lord, that you would create and make in us a new and contrite heart, that we, lamenting our sins and acknowledging our unworthiness, may obtain of you, the God of mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's hear these words from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. And as the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became a dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach could bleach them. And then Elijah and Moses appeared, and they began talking with Jesus. And Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He said this because he really didn't know what else to say, for they were all terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dear son. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and only Jesus was with them. And they went back down the mountain, and he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is God's word for us, and we are God's people. Thanks be to God. You know, life is kind of funny. It's filled with ups and downs. It's filled with peaks and valleys, isn't it? It's just not one mountaintop experience after another. And you know, when you're riding on the good times of life, when you're standing on the mountaintops of life, you know, it's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to follow the Lord. It's easy when you're up high and you're on those mountaintop experiences in life. You know, phrases like "God is good all the time" and "all the times God is good" just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it, in the good times of life. But as I said, mountaintop experiences one after the other, that's just not reality. It's not where we live. It's not my reality, and I'm sure it's not yours either. Life is full of ups and downs and peaks and valleys. You know, and speaking of the valleys, there are lots of them. You know, like just today on the news when we hear of that idiot who was shooting up children in a high school in Florida. Talk about a valley. Or when you're sick. Or when you're hurting. Or when you're alone. Or when you've been rejected. Have you ever been rejected? Has anyone ever said thanks but no thanks to your offer of love and friendship? You know, that stings. It hurts. It's painful. Rejection. Rejection's painful. You know, it was on October the 2nd, 1954. Do you know what happened that day? I'll tell you, it was the day that Elvis Presley got his dream job. He was invited on that day to appear on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, a job, an opportunity he had been waiting for and praying for and hoping for, and just couldn't believe that he actually had the chance to do it. And when he appeared on the stage and finished his song, the audience in the Opry, they gave him a polite round of applause. And Mr. Presley went backstage and met the stage manager. His name is Jim Denny. And Jim Denny looked Elvis in the eye and said, "You know, son, I think you'd be better off and more successful if you just went back to Memphis and continued driving a truck." You talk about rejection. There it was for Elvis Presley. You know, it probably happens to you too. If I've told you this, please forgive me, but I'm going to tell you again. And that's, you know, my very first brush with real, I should say my first brush with a real painful rejection occurred when I was 23 years old. I was 23 years old, and I was in seminary at Duke University, and I was attending the Virginia Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church at the Civic Center in Roanoke, Virginia, and I received a message from the district superintendent of the Farmville District to said to please meet him in the back of the Civic Center at a particular time. And so when the time came, I showed up, and I saw him coming, the district superintendent. He was walking with another guy, and as soon as we got together, he said, "John, I want you to meet Stanley Vaughn. Stanley Vaughn, I want you to meet John Spaight. He's going to be your new pastor." And Stanley Vaughn shook my hand politely, and then he stepped back a couple of steps. I remember this like it was yesterday. He looked me in the eye, and then he looked me down, and then he looked up again. And he turned to the district superintendent, and I kid you not, this is a direct quote. He said, "What's this, junior achievement?" He said, we asked for a pastor who was married. He's not married. We asked one with children. He didn't have any kids. And we wanted a pastor that had completed seminary." He said, "I don't have the authority to bring that home as our pastor." You talk about going into a valley. I was pushed off the mountain and fell head first down in it. Have you ever been rejected like that? It hurts. It's incredibly painful. But just back to the scripture for a moment. You know, the disciples, well, you know, they had no idea after they were up there on top of that mountain. They had no idea what was coming next. You know, everything had been going so well. They had no idea that a valley was just around the corner. And we're not talking about just a valley. I'm really talking about a chasm. A chasm was just around the corner. You see, things had been going so well up to that point. You know, here they were on the mountaintop. They'd had that incredible experience with Jesus. And then right in front of their eyes, you know, his clothes were changing and Moses shows up and Elijah shows up. You know, it was an incredible experience. And besides that, other things had been going well. You know, Jesus had fed 5,000 people. He had healed the sick. He had cast out demons. You know, he had walked on the water. He had more and more people coming to hear him talk, and they were hanging on every word. I mean, he was becoming quite the superstar. Things were going really, really, really well. But the disciples didn't know that right around the corner was the chasm of the valley of the shadow of death. They had no idea that in just a short period of time, all of those folks who were so happy to see Jesus were going to turn away from him and turn against him. They had no idea that in a few short weeks, this guy Jesus was going to be betrayed. Their leader was going to be betrayed and arrested and tortured and condemned and executed. They had no idea the valley that was coming. And it was right around the corner. And I really think that that's the reason that Jesus took those guys, those three musketeers, Peter, James, and John, that he took them up on top of that mountain to experience what they had experienced. Jesus wanted them to see something amazing with their own eyes. He wanted them to see and experience the glory of God, to recognize that this guy Jesus, when he transformed and right in front of their eyes and Moses and Elijah show up, Jesus wanted them to know that he really was who he claimed to be, that he really, 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 really was the Savior of the world. And they needed to know that. They needed to know that they were standing in the presence of God Himself on that mountain, because that valley was coming, and was coming quick. And those disciples, if they were simply to see the cross and the torture and the beating and the arrest and everything, they would have believed that everything that Jesus said was a lie, that His cause would have died, and that it would have been all over. It would have appeared to those disciples that everything that they had hoped and dreamed in Jesus would have been defeated. But on that moment on the mountaintop, they recognized that He is God. And if that experience didn't convince them right before their own eyes, Elijah and Moses show up, to the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. And then if that were not enough, this cloud comes across the mountain, and lo and behold, if right out of that cloud, they didn't hear a voice, and they did. They heard a voice that said, "This is my dear son. Listen to him." Out of the cloud. You talk about a mountaintop experience. It was happening then. It was the voice of God Himself. But just as quick as all of that happened, it went away. The cloud lifted. Jesus transformed right back into His own body. Moses and Elijah, well, they were gone. And Jesus led them back down off the mountain, right back down into the valley, where in just a few weeks He would face that shadow of death. You know, and I tell you that story because today is Ash Wednesday. Today's actually the beginning of Lent. And this is a time that the church has set aside to remind people like you and like me that, you know, even when we're living on the top of the mountain, we're still broken people. You and I are broken people. as good as life may seem, maybe you're having a wonderful mountaintop experience even today, maybe things are going terrific in your life. But that's why we're here, to be reminded that even in the good times, you and I are sinful, broken people who stand in need of a Savior. And you want to know why we need a Savior? It's because we're not God. That God is God and you're not. I'm not God, you're not God. We can't do it ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't even forgive ourselves. But we stand in need of one who can. I like to even think of it this way, particularly when I'm feeling a bit humble, is that He really came, Jesus really came to save us from ourselves, from thinking that we somehow have got life all together, that we can just hold life by the tail and we can control it and we can make it into whatever it is that we want. And we're the masters of our own destiny. And when we begin to think that way, we begin to fool ourselves. Because we are sinful, broken people. And as Lent tells us, the season of Lent, listen to this, we don't like to think about this. I don't even particularly care to talk about it. But we're going to die. No matter how much you think you're in control, no matter how much you believe that you've got the tiger of life by its tail, you and I are going to die. And we stand in need of someone to rescue us. And that's the purpose of Lent. To remind us that even in the darkest valley of the shadow of death, we have a God who loves us, who genuinely cares about us, who has come and given His whole life, laid it all out for us so that we may live. He reminds us that He is a God who never fails. He is a God who will never abandon you, no matter how dark and how deep your valley is. Receive the ashes that will remind us that we are mortal people. And God's call to you and to me is to repent and receive the gospel. We're going to pray together a prayer of confession. This is a corporate prayer of confession, meaning that we pray this together because we recognize that we are broken people who stand in need of a Savior. So let's pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things and judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.